Money Sense is brought to you by the Ellenbecker Investment Group, three-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business Ethics and Integrity. The Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com. Listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We're located in Pewaukee, just east of Highway 164 and Capitol Drive. We're in that great big beautiful town bank building. We're also the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building, which is right across from Winkies. We also serve our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. If you'd like to know more about us, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is Melinda Stewart, and she is the president of Smart Moves. And you might wonder, like, what are smart moves all about, you know? And the reality is one of the things that when I sit down with our clients, one of the biggest questions that we deal with as people are aging and as people are considering retirement is we kind of look at their house. And for so many people, you know, I'll laugh and I'll say, you know, you can't eat your house. And people for their whole lives have worked to pay off their mortgages, and many have, and they have this home that they've raised their family in or not, but they love their houses. And we start to think about homes as an investment, as well as an investment in their peace of mind and their lifestyle, but also as an investment in terms of their portfolio. So if you have an idea that, let's say you have a house that's worth $400,000 and it's paid up, one of the questions we always ask people is, do you have an intention of passing this home to your beneficiaries? Do you have an intention of taking your house, that $400,000, and dividing it up amongst your kids? Or do you really consider it as part of your investment, that you see it as part of what you might want to use for retirement? And so we talk about it, and very often I'll ask one spouse, well, Linda, if Joe dies, would you stay in the house? They go, no, I'm not going to take care of the house. And then I'll say, well, Joe, if Linda dies, do you want to stay in the house? And they'll say, well, I don't know, maybe for a little while, but probably not. It's too big. And there's really a lot of gardening and a lot of work to be done. And so then we start this process of thinking about earlier, like, what does that retirement look like to you? And one of my famous and favorite phrases is live where you want to play. And so we look at the houses and we start to think about it. And all of a sudden it's like, well, but we've been there our whole life and it's packed full of stuff. And we've got so many things that we have to consider and to move. And often people make the decision not to move because they just really don't want to deal with the issue of how to move. And so today we're going to talk about how to move. We're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, my guest today, Melinda Stewart, who has Smart Moves, and it's really to help everybody, but mostly seniors, to tackle that whole idea of selling their house and where do they go. And you have no idea of what the difference it makes to say, I'm going to buy maybe a smaller place. Some people are renting now, but to take that cash and put it into your portfolio, you now have this ability early in life when you're healthy and you can travel to have a little extra cash. And what we see happening when you get to be that 85, 90 years, you're just not spending as much. And so we never see this opportunity where you take the money and you use it for your own pleasure, your own enjoyment, that we don't have money left over for kids. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to explore the possibilities of how to really consider your home as an investment, how to consider moving, and what are some of the steps that you can take to do that. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Melinda Stewart. She has a company called Smart Moves, and she helps people to really tackle that big question of when to move, how to move, how to get it done. And it is very much overwhelming. I've moved twice in the last couple of years as I've downsized, and it was tough. It was hard. But I really realized that as hard as I looked at it, didn't know what to do with all the stuff, I learned two things. First, my kids didn't want half of my stuff. They have their own stuff. And my daughter, Julie, said, "Mom, if it doesn't go in the dishwasher or the microwave, I don't want it." And of course, I've got china and crystal and silver and, you know, all of those crazy things. And my artwork is really specific to my taste. And I also learned that if I didn't do it, eventually someone was going to have to do it. And so I really didn't want to put that burden on my kids to have to make all those decisions. So welcome to the show, Melinda. And it is a tough question. And how do you help people to really focus and actually take that first step to moving maybe towards downsizing?
Yes. Well, first, thanks for having me. And this is such a topic of interest for so many people. And I think what you said at the beginning is exactly right, that people are looking sometimes to make this move, but it really is the question of what to do with their things and how to downsize that might be holding them back. So that's when we come in. We'll never come in and say, it's time to move, you have to move. That's a very personal decision. But when you're starting to think about it, sometimes having a game plan for what to do with the things and steps to think about what you do want to keep for the next chapter and what you're ready to let go of can really make the process more enjoyable and less stressful.
Well, you know, Melinda, one of the issues with houses is that in order to have them appreciate, which is what we all assume they're going to do, you really have to take care of them. And what happens as we age is I used to have all these great gardens and flower gardens and then had these knee issues. And it was like, I can't weed anymore. And I don't want to weed anymore. And, you know, making sure the gutters, and especially if one of the spouses passes away and you're left with so much of the maintenance, and our kids want to come over and spend time with us, not actually be doing our housework and our house things. So, but it is a hard decision to make. And it's so much easier and to do it in advance of having to do it.
Yes. I always say
in a crisis.
Exactly. We have two types of moves. One is the one you were alluding to of taking stock and thinking about maybe liquidating those assets that are tied up in the house and really enjoying what you have with your time in this chapter, maybe traveling or downsizing and having less maintenance. And the other type of move is the crisis move. And I bet you can guess which one is more fun for people to go through. So anytime you can pre-plan, pre-think about this, have that game plan, it's going to make such a more enjoyable transition for that downsizing.
When I talk to many of my clients and have known them for 20 years, 30 years plus, I've witnessed that they make their decisions together. They talk about things, and all of a sudden, one person unexpectedly passes away and the other spouse is left with, well, we made all the decisions together. And they're almost, what would you call, paralyzed?
Yes. Yes. So sometimes they have other people that are in the process then of children that help make decisions, but sometimes really we are that person to help them through and think about those decisions when they've never had to do it by themselves before. So it's really nice to be able to walk people through that process and help them think about things that we do every day. They might not have moved. Some people have been in their homes for 50, 60, 70 years. And this is a whole new venture to have to face in the middle of other change. So for us, it's normal. We're doing it every day, and we love to help people navigate that process.
Well, and it is nice to give away things to people during your lifetime. And I discovered that for myself. I used to do canning and all of this. And I saw that. I go, I am never going to do that again. But they were important to me. And I still have two pans that my Aunt Fran gave me that I use all the time. And it was funny because my daughter Julie said, well, I want that pan. Mom, I want the pans from Aunt Fran. So the things that you think they're going to want, they don't want. And the things that are so meaningful to them, they want. And so having this discussion early on is really great. And I know I put up a couple tables in my garage as I was going through things. And we always got together on Sundays for dinner. And literally, I would put things out in the garage and say, if there's anything in there, take what you want. I'm going to give the rest away. So I didn't do it overnight. I did it over a period of time, knowing that my intention was that I was going to downsize and I was going to go into something smaller. And the other thing I discovered was I got rid of a lot of furniture, and my kids and grandkids were needy, so they took a lot of it. I had a ball buying new stuff.
Yeah, and that can vary person to person for sure, but we've heard lots of great ideas. One client even had all their neighbors come through and kind of do a free rummage sale of take what you want, what will you'll remind you of me as I move. And it was a really enjoyable process for them. So there's lots of fun, creative ways to do that. And I think you're so right about it will surprise you what people are interested in. You know, sometimes it's not the things that have the most monetary value or like you said, the things you're assuming they would want. It could be their favorite cup from their childhood or their favorite baking dish, like you mentioned. Yes. With your daughter, things you would just never think of. So giving them the opportunity to identify those things makes it so much more special to get to see them enjoy it versus maybe passing things on with a burden of, you know, asking your family to take things that maybe they don't want or it's not the right fit for them.
Well, and the world has changed and how people live is different. And having that conversation, you know, we always encourage our clients to have conversations, not just about their money, but about this next step in their life. And I think it really brings you closer to your children. And they're so grateful to know that they don't have to be the ones to go through every drawer and every nook and cranny and try and figure out where things are, what's valuable, what's not valuable, and give them an opportunity to, like you said, select the things that they may want. But there's so many people out there too that need things that it really is a pleasure to give some things away that other people can use.
Right. You know, we used it and enjoyed it for that chapter when we needed it. And now the next chapter, we don't need those things. So why not let someone else enjoy them? It's a wonderful feeling to be able to do that.
Can you know what I think we'll do? I think we'll take a quick break because when we come back, I would like to kind of work with you on the fact, okay, here's my house. You're walking into my house and I'm afraid of what you're going to say because not that I'm a hoarder, but I've kept everything. And how do I change that perception of how I see things? And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And I've been doing Money Sense for almost 34 years and have never sold a product on the radio. And the reason for that is because what I really want to bring to my listeners and to so many of my clients that are listeners is ideas that they can feel that they're really making qualified decisions. There's no pressure. It's just listening. And as you can see today, Melinda and I are just really talking about experiences and my experiences. But I hope that there's a piece in here that if you're kids, you can talk to your parents about. You can also play this show for them again. If you're a neighbor or someone that's failing, it's, you know, we're a big community. We have to kind of help each other out. And sometimes we can't even see what's happening around us, but we have people, you know, coming in for holidays and that. And if you see your parents are really kind of stuck and don't know how to do it, you know, this is the call to make to smart moves to really get an idea of what this process looks like. And so that's what I want to talk about during this segment is there. I mean, I can think of my mother, and when we were trying to get her to do this, and she said, usually people don't go through their stuff until they're dead. And I said, but Mom, this is all your stuff, and we don't have a clue about all of this. And there's so much more than just the things that are sitting on the tabletops. And so we eventually were able to sit down with her and go through that. But it was under crisis. My father was sick and he passed away, and it was really difficult. And there was so much emotion going on that to do it in that situation is really not the best. And so Melinda is the president of Smart Moves, and it's Smart Moves for Seniors. And I'm wondering what happens when they call you to come and see their house, and you're looking, you know, every single cupboard's going to have to be emptied, every drawer, the basement, the garage. I mean, it is a big thing.
It is. And we're really there to help with not only the physical part of the packing and moving and setting up, but also the emotional part of that. We've been doing this now 20 years, so we've seen it all. Before the break, you mentioned people maybe being afraid of judgment when we come in to assess a situation, and really that is not what we are there for. Our tagline is compassionate moving services. We come in understanding that people are in all different places when it comes time for the move, and we're really here to help with that next step. So when we come in, we're really having a conversation to see where you're at, what your goals are. Some of our clients are moving. Some actually are staying in their home, but they maybe need to do some downsizing and organizing to make their home more accessible. And so we just work together on that game plan. And if they are moving, we will actually measure all the furniture and lay it out in their new space to scale so that they can see ahead of time how things will fit. We can work together on making some decisions. And then really it's all about working together and figuring out what's going to work best in their new space.
So very often I will recommend to my clients, because they can't afford to bring people in to help for cutting their grass and doing all the different things they need. And I'll say, and, you know, it's time to get someone to help you clean. I don't want anyone in my house. I don't want anybody in my house. And a lot of people are afraid to have strange people come into their house, and they feel for their safety. And this is a your company is bonded, and you're have all of the things in place to help people become safe.
Definitely. We're licensed, bonded, insured, and we are a team of women. So we have about 20 women on the team. Many of them have been here for 10, 15 plus years, and we don't have a lot of turnover. We do a lot of training. So our team really is here because they are passionate about what they do, and they love helping people with this process. And then when it comes time to the move, we bring in movers that we work with, and they also have to be aware of our ethics policy and our policies and procedures and how and what we expect on our move. So everyone's really been vetted and trained, and just loves helping out with this process. So it's a beautiful thing.
And I imagine that you've gone through this process with somebody who is looking at their things and all the memories, and there maybe isn't the space that they want to get into a smaller space, and the tears start coming.
Oh, yes, of course. There's things that are emotional. And this is one of my favorite topics, actually, because what we really want to hold on to are those memories. And there's so many beautiful ways to be able to keep the memories without having to keep the physical object itself, whether it's taking a picture and then writing the story of it on the back, sometimes even turning that a few things into a book that you can share with family about the memories attached to the things. And there's just, you know, I could go on and on, ways of turning people's clothing that maybe have passed on into objects that you can keep, ornaments or pillows or quilts. And so you can keep some of those things without taking up all of that space in your new home.
And do you have areas where people that they can give clothing to? And I know that there's places you can give tools to. There's, I think it's Joseph's Toolbox, who they take tools and they give them to people who need them. There's a whole variety of things out there that you can do to kind of reuse or have other people use the things that they maybe can't afford or don't have?
Yes. So we always say there's a hierarchy of decisions. So once you've decided what you want to keep, then we encourage you to ask family and friends what they want. If you're selling a home, sometimes the new buyer's interested in things. And then we see if you're interested in trying to sell any objects, if you do have items that are sellable. And then we really have been working hard. The whole donation market has changed. I never like to bring it up, but once the pandemic hit, a lot of the places that accept donations got really flooded with things. And so the rules have changed a little bit as far as what they can accept, what their drop-off times are. So we spend a lot of time trying to stay up on that so we can make the best connections of where things can go. Our last choice is always to just put something in a dumpster or have it recycled. We do whatever we can to find a good home for it first.
What are the challenges that people can think about as they are thinking, wow, this would be a good idea for mom and dad to have somebody come and maybe they could go there with them while they do it? But what are the challenges that people face when there's been a crisis? And then if they just are thinking it's time to downsize and then let's decide what we want to do.
Yeah. So if it is a crisis situation, sometimes the challenge is, for example, if somebody's had a fall and they're in rehab, they can't physically be there to make the decisions. And then we are working with family and friends. So we do what we can. If we can take pictures and take them to the person moving or do some type of video connection to help them have input, because of course we all want as much control over those decisions as possible. So I say, if you're thinking about moving or you think you want to have a plan in place in case something happens, come and have us come for that complimentary consult. And then if there is a crisis, we have the plan in place for you already. That can be really a peace of mind for people. But otherwise, if you're planning ahead for a move, the sooner the better. And we can be, I tell the story when I'm doing presentations around town, I've had my children downsizing since they were 2 and 3 years old. So this is a continuous process. We can all be doing it on an ongoing basis. And then if something happens, we're just that much farther ahead.
Can you give me an idea of how you start so people can get a picture? So you walk into their kitchen or you walk into the bedroom first. Where do you typically start to help people in a comfortable way to get acclimated to the idea of downsizing or organizing?
So if we're at the point of actually starting the process of organizing and downsizing, I always suggest starting with the areas that are less sentimental. We can all probably think off the top of our head which areas might be a little harder to make decisions on. So for a lot of people, going through clothing or paperwork is less sentimental. Kitchen items, it just depends. So we really do tailor it to the person. For one person, clothing was a really hard item for them to go through. So we started with some easier categories for them. And then you kind of build that momentum. So by the time you get to the clothing, you've kind of got that rhythm and idea, and it makes it easier. Also, since most of our clients are moving, we have that space that they're moving into, the dimensions, and we can actually measure that out in their current space, maybe how much hanging space they'll have in their closet, how many cupboards they'll have. So it helps really visualize what they're going to have to work with. And actually, that's really the last step as figuring out how much space. The first step is to really ask yourself, do I still even like this or use it? Sometimes we're holding on to things for all the wrong reasons. Maybe we feel guilty that we spent money on it and we never used it, but it's sitting in the basement in case there's ever a day or a family member gave it to us. So asking those questions, do I even like this? Do I use it? And if it passes that, then we can look at what kind of space we'll have for it.
I know I was talking to a client recently and they said, well, my kids have all got junk in my basement. I don't even know what's in there anymore because my wash machine and dryer are upstairs. I don't even go down there, but it's full of stuff. I don't even know what's down there. Most of it's not even mine. And I said, well, obviously they don't need it. So maybe the first step is to say, get your stuff out. But you know, it is hard. And I know that when people are looking at letting go, it really is a mindset. It's a time to reflect on, as you said, are these things that I still really need? And one of the things I encourage my clients to do when they really have decided I'm going to move is to take some of the familiar pictures off their wall, even just let the hook there, but just take them and put them down, and you will see that it is just really four walls. And when you take your pictures with you and you take the things that are important, it becomes a house no matter where you are, and it becomes a home. But once you start to see the walls start to get bare, you go, oh my goodness, it is, you know, it is just a house. And you can put your pictures back to sell it. But there's something about just making it a square room and taking some of the things out that are important to you that can change your perspective.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought of just really making it what it is. And also honoring that for most of us, our house does become almost like a friend. It's comfortable. It's someplace we've had a lot of experiences. But again, to honor that, to keep those memories, oftentimes after move day, you know, when we're done on move day, the pictures can be on the wall, the bed will be made, the toothbrushes at the sink, and people walk in and say, oh my gosh, this does feel like home. So I think you're right. You know, sometimes bringing those things that are most important, that's really what makes your home. It's not those four walls and the actual space.
My guest today is Melinda Stewart. She is the president of Smart Moves. You can reach her at 414-526-5242. And you can go to her website, smartmovesforseniors.com, and get a little bit more information. And I think what I'd like to do in our last portion here is to really talk a little bit about downsizing and people who maybe have just stored too many things and they have too much stuff. I know there's that awful word called hoarding, but really, I don't know how to express it, how we keep things. And in a sense, it's like that. I remember my mother, she kept every plastic container and every hanger that she ever had, and without even realizing how much space it was taking up. And she had a closet that were all kinds of gifts she was going to give away, and she'd forget that she had them. And then the kids had outgrown the gifts or the games and the things. And nobody, I mean, we took the gifts out, I remember, on her table and put them out, and nobody wanted any. She said, well, these are all good things. And so sometimes we hold on to things, as you said, that nobody really even wants anymore. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you'd like to know more about us, go to ellenbecker.com. You can put a voice with a face, which is always a nice thing to do. My guest today is Melinda Stewart, and she is the president of Smart Moves. Her phone number is 414-526-5242, and she really helps people get organized. Just in the fact of getting organized and going through everything. And she also helps people who are looking at moving, people who are contemplating moving. Sometimes there's a crisis that they have to step in and help organize things. And I always like to talk with my clients about how important it is, because someday somebody is going to have to do it. And better for you to be able to talk about things. And so Julie just recently said to me, Mom, go through your jewelry and tell me who you want to give things to. She said, because I don't really know what your thoughts are. And so Melinda, when people are contemplating this whole idea of just getting organized, how do they go about that? And what are some of the steps that you can help them think about?
So there's lots of fun tips and tricks on getting organized and downsized. One thing that I would say consistent for everyone is to start in small bites, right? If you set a whole weekend aside to downsize your house, it's not going to be as fun because you're going to get exhausted emotionally, physically. It's going to be too much. So I usually recommend 10 to 15 minutes of and actually setting a timer. And if that timer goes off and you're thinking, oh, I want to keep going, that's great. But try to force yourself to stop so that the next day when you come back to it, you still have that feeling of, I want to keep going. It's so important to not overburden yourself, especially when you get into those sentimental areas. Another good thing is to ask for help, but ask for help smartly. Some people can make this process easier and can be really a good support. And other people sometimes slow it down. If you're getting too caught up on making decisions, or there's somebody who this just isn't their forte, it can actually really make it a burden to work together and go through this. So know who you want on your team. And just some fun things that are easy that all of us can do. I know many people have heard this trick, but the turning the hangers in your closet trick works so well. I do this at least once a year. Turn all your hangers backwards, give yourself a period of cold weather and warm weather. And each time you wear something, flip that hanger around. And then after you've gone through those cool and warm weather days, what's not flipped probably are the things you're not using. Either they don't fit well anymore, or they're not your favorites. Maybe they've gone out of style. And that makes it easy to see what you can maybe consider getting rid of. And that's pretty popular, but you can do that with anything. You know, I said, turn all your coffee cups the other way. And as you use them and wash them and put them back, face them the other way. And after 1 week, probably, you can really see which coffee cups you use, which ones you're not using. We've had clients that want to move up to 75 coffee cups, and that just takes up a lot of real estate in your cupboard. So in reality, you can think of how many am I realistically really using? And we tend to have our go-to favorites in all kind of categories. So those are some fun ways to get started. There's so many interesting shows now about downsizing and organizing. Many people have heard about the magic of tidying up, I believe it is, with Marie Kondo, or the Home Edit, where you organize by color. And each person's a little different. So what works for one person might not work for another. I do encourage the idea of, if you're going to look through something, really think if you have it spread out through your house. So sometimes we have clients who have coats and jackets in a coat closet by the front door, but they also have a few in a extra bedroom that used to be their child's bedroom that's now vacant, and maybe they have a few in the basement. So if you're going to assess your coat and jacket situation, pull them all into one place so you can really see how many you have, and then think again about how many you're really using and how many you need. So that visual of seeing it all in one place can be really helpful.
Well, and our lifestyles have changed. Very often, as we're aging, we don't need 12 cups. We don't cook for 12 people anymore. And, you know, so it's really just, I think maybe one of the questions would be, do I really need this? And is it something that maybe someone else could use and would be able to have benefit from it? And like you said, maybe pick your favorite 4 cups or 6 cups. And I know when I was moving, I had so many utensils, I couldn't possibly have used all of them. And so I let the kids all pick them, and grandkids who need to, you know, need things for their apartments. And it was really wonderful. And now when I go to their houses, I see some of this stuff, and it's really endearing.
Yes. I just heard the quote the other day, do your giving while you're living, because you can really enjoy seeing the joy it brings for other people. So I love that idea. We do keep things for different reasons. Back, you know, not to just stick on coffee cups, but sometimes people have collected them from places they traveled or other objects as well. But if they're hidden away in a cupboard where no one can see it, what purpose is that serving? So if you really want to honor that collection and those memories, maybe think of a way you can display that in your space. And if it doesn't warrant that, then again, how can you keep the memory without the physical thing is always the question to go to.
For children, can you give any pointers as to how a child could open up this conversation with their parents without any hurt feelings or hard feelings, but to, as they're coming with the holidays now, with an idea that maybe there's some things that they could start with.
Yeah. And again, family dynamics are always different, but if it's a healthy family dynamic and you have that opportunity, one thing around the holidays that we love and can be overwhelming for a lot of people is pictures, photographs. So we always say, okay, Thanksgiving, bring out all those photos and let people look through and help you remember those stories and let people take their favorites. You know, if that's something you're interested in downsizing. And that can be such a fun discussion and day with the family. And then people leave with the ones they really want. And then you can decide what to do with the rest. Pictures, we talk about the ABC method, and you can really do this with all of your categories of things, not just photographs. But when we talk about doing a quick sort, A with photographs are the pile that you want to see framed on your wall. They're that amazing and wonderful and special to you that you would invest in a frame and give up wall space. B are the pictures that you like and you'd like to keep. And then C are the ones that people are in the picture that you don't know, or their heads cut off, or maybe it's a little blurry. And the C's, you know, you can easily get rid of. The A's you'll put on the wall. And then the B section is the one that you want to take time really thinking about and looking at closer. It just helps start that process and simplify. So you could do that again with your clothes. A's are the ones you know you want to keep. B's you want to think about. C's are the ones that are stained or ripped or don't fit anymore. And if you do that quickly without getting, I think you said before, paralyzed in the decision-making, that again can just be the catalyst that gets you going. So a lot of people can find that really helpful.
I don't think people often realize how much stress is associated with having so much stuff around your house. I know myself, and I just did it. I had moved and I took all these empty boxes and things, and I don't have a basement, and I put them in an extra closet. And every time I opened that closet and walked by it, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to do something with this and go through it. And I finally did it. And it felt so good to be able to walk in there and feel like I had a handle on what was in there, what I wanted. And I've got a little corner that I put together. I saw Taylor the other day and I gave her three of those candles that I don't use anymore. And she said, Nana, you're spoiling me. I mean, what a wonderful thing. And they were just sitting on my shelf, you know, and I've just had a lot of things like that that are really good, but I'm never going to use them again. And I can share them. And it feels so good to know that there's organization and that, you know, at least I wanted to know what I had, because I had big cupboards and everything kept pushed back and, you know, Right. Things got pushed back into the corner. And then there was all those little Schottskys that all the kids had given me all these years. You know, it's like, do you want any of these back?
Right. Yes. Ask the question and then let it move on. And you are right on with the fact that this can impact our stress and our health. There's been more and more research around this, that having clutter and kind of disorganization can increase our cortisol levels. Sometimes that leads to weight gain. It definitely leads to our decreased ability to make decisions. It can increase our chance for falling if there's things that are starting to crowd our walkways and floor. So many things, or just a general sense of unease in our own space. So I love to start the process by just having a vision of, if you could picture your space just how you want it, what would that look like? And for some people, it's very minimalistic. Other people like a lot of familiar things around, but most of us don't want to be surrounded with things that are causing stress and just piling up that we don't know what to do with. So this process can be so freeing. One of our clients said, after going through this, I'm taking my memories, but I am unencumbered by the stuff that was holding me back. And I love that thought of just being able to take forward what you want and what you love, and feeling free from the burden of having stuff that you have in the back of your mind that you want to do something about. And it just can be wonderful. And also, I'd like to say that this feeling of thinking, oh, I might have too much stuff is completely normal. There was a big research project done just within the last couple of years, and they interviewed people, and the majority of people said, I think I have too much stuff. So it is normal. You mentioned hoarding before. That is also increasing in our society. Hoarding is a diagnosed psychological disorder. And that is something that is another level where really we need to bring in therapy and some help to really address hoarding issues. But just having too much stuff does not mean that you're hoarding. It just means that you're normal, that you've collected things over the years and maybe held on to them after you were done with them. So that's where we can really help out.
And I think for children that are visiting during the holidays or at any time, and if you see that the house is cluttered, and it could be that maybe a parent could fall, or you see things building up, and even just you can notice things like food in the refrigerator or laundry, or it's a great opportunity to say, I'd like to do this as a gift to you. I'd like to buy time for somebody to come in and maybe once a week or whatever it is, and come in and do that even with your parent. But so many kids live far away. They don't even know sometimes what's happening. But if you see that, and maybe you can start with one closet or start with the basement and start with the garage or the basement, because the basement seems, or attics. Oh my goodness. People can't even get into their attics anymore. And Christmas decorations. They have tons and tons of Christmas decorations. And now I put up a 3-foot tree, you know. And so I think feeling good about having someone that you can recommend, that you know that we've worked with, that have helped us and helped our clients, and bring that person in to meet your family while you're there and to develop a plan and a schedule as to how this is going to work. And I know you stay in touch with families and you help them understand what's going on with mom and dad, but sometimes it's just that conversation that needs that assurance that the parent doesn't want to bring it up and they don't even know what to do. They don't know there's a solution, and you can help them with some of this.
Yes. And I really want people to think about honoring their parents with that request. And instead of coming in and saying, I think you need to do this, or we've all been talking and you need to do this, is to really open that conversation and say, how do you feel, you know, about the house and the space you're in, and try to see if they're starting to have those concerns, because none of us want to be told what to do or what we should do. So if you can open that conversation and your parents say, I am feeling a little overwhelmed and I am having a hard time, that's a great door to open up a conversation about the next step and plans. And with the holidays coming up, we have gift cards. We can come out. We have a 2-hour minimum. And sometimes that's really all it takes to get that space kind of reorganized and ready to go.
And safe.
And safety is always important. Right?
Safety is so important. So we only have a minute or two left to for our show. What are some of the things that you would like to leave our listeners with? I know I want to give out your phone number, 414-526-5242, and they can go to your webpage at smartmovesforseniors.com. What are the things that you would like them to consider?
I would like everyone to know that this can be a fun and exciting process. Mostly we think of downsizing and moving as stressful and overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And at Smart Moves, we're always here. Even if you just want to call and get information or resources, that's a passion of mine, connecting people to the best resource, the best information. So whether or not you think you need our help, I'm happy to point you in the right direction and get you information you need. So reach out with a call or through our website. We love talking to you. And it is National Senior and Specialty Move Manager Week. So if you want to just call and say, Happy Move Manager Week, we'd love to hear from you.
And how do you stay connected to the children or children who, is there a format or a time frame that you can help them to understand what's going on with their family?
Yes. So our code of ethics is that the person moving is always the point of contact and decision maker, and we need permission from that person to share information with children and family. So that's part of our process, finding out who we can share information with. And then we have lots of ways to do that, either again through video chats. If people are out of town, we can link them into our consult that way, email, texting. We love to keep everyone on the same page when that's the desire of our client.
My guest today is Melinda Stewart. She is the president of Smart Moves. Her phone number is 414-526-5242. You can go to their webpage at smartmovesforseniors.com. And so great. Thank you, Melinda. It was just really a great show. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and your financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a really great day. Bye-bye.